I want to talk to you this morning about one of the most favorite quoted verses in the Bible around this time of year you see in Christmas cards, and that is Isaiah 7:14 as one of the most often quoted verses in the Bible. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. And I titled this morning's devotion, this is going to be a very short devotion. Very difficult for me to prepare this sermon because I wanted to say something significant, something meaningful to you on this day, and then try to keep it short and concise. And so that was a challenge. But I think the Lord's blessing, we will see. I'll talk to you about a miraculous Christmas. About 680 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Holy Scripture that, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel." That's Isaiah 7:14. That's a Christmas verse we hear sung and on Christmas cards. Now, of course, that prophecy was going to be fulfilled when the angel appeared to Joseph, informing Joseph that his espoused wife Mary truly was conceived by the Holy Spirit, carrying the Messiah, and soon to give birth to a son, and he was called Jesus when he was born. And Matthew tells us, all this took place that was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled in Matthew 1:22. So that which we read in Isaiah 14, the angel shows up, talks to Joseph, and Matthew says and records that account and says this was so that Isaiah 7:14 could be fulfilled. And translating Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's who Jesus was and is when he was born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. God with us, God incarnate, the God-man, the man Christ Jesus, born of a virgin, without a sin nature, sinless, impeccable, holy, undefiled, and separate than sinners. A miraculous advent, the second person of the triune Godhead, the Word, taking on human flesh, born so as to have a body of flesh and bone. A miraculous advent. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 says in 1:14. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ. And John names who the Word was that became flesh. A miraculous advent. The Son of the living God, veiled in flesh. Now, people actually beheld that. There was a generation of people that actually beheld that. 680 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah told King Ahaz that the two invading kings coming against the kingdom of Judah would not prevail, that God would protect the house of David. And God told King Ahaz, just ask for a sign, and I will give you a sign to reassure you. Isaiah 7:11, before 7:14, records this. God says, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make the request as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Now this is before Isaiah 7:14. Two invading armies are coming against the kingdom of Judah. King Ahaz is concerned. The prophet Isaiah shows up and says, don't worry about them, two invading kingdoms. Don't worry about it. God's going to protect you. You want reassurance? Just ask for any sign. Ask for any sign that you could possibly think of. And so God was telling King Ahaz to ask for a sign, regardless of how miraculous it might be. Just ask for any sign. You want the sun to stop? You want it to stop raining? What, you want an earthquake? What do you want? God was going to give King Ahaz a sign of assurance that he would protect his kingdom from the invading kingdoms. But King Ahaz felt like he would be testing the Lord to ask for a sign. So he didn't ask for a sign. And the Lord gives King Ahaz this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 as a sign. King Ahaz would have been representation of the house of David. He'd been representation of the Davidic kingdom, the Davidic dynasty. So the Lord gives a kingdom prophecy concerning the Messiah and his enduring, everlasting kingdom. Here's King Ahaz worried about his little kingdom, two invading armies coming, and the Lord says, let me tell you about the kingdom. The kingdom that you're the king of is never going to end. And he unloads this prophecy on him. A sign far beyond anything King Ahaz could have ever imagined. So this great sign and prophecy was told that would have reassured King Ahaz that the kingdom of Judah would not be destroyed by two invading kingdom armies, the kingdom of Israel, which was in rebellion, and the kingdom of Syria. This is the historical context of Isaiah 7:14. This is why God sent the prophet to give this prophecy to King Ahaz. And he said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. I asked you, you can ask any sign you want. You didn't ask for one. Let me give you a sign. Here's a sign, King Ahaz. Get a hold of this. Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. This is what the prophet Isaiah told King Ahaz. The Lord God tells King Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah how the Messiah will come into the world as God incarnate. The Lord God tells King Ahaz that the Messiah's advent will be supernatural, that it will be miraculous, incomprehensible, humanly impossible, but not with God. He already said, ask for any sign you want, as deep as Sheol, high as the heavens. And then he gives him this prophecy about the Messiah and tells him how the Messiah is going to come in the world and how his kingdom, the Messiah means king, means anointed king. And he tells him, listen, you don't understand, Ahaz, with God, anything is possible. With God, all things are possible. And the Lord is always accommodating our limited ability to grasp his unlimited ability. Like King Ahaz, the Lord would have us believe in him, that with him, all things are possible. And to believe in the miraculous, because God is miraculous. We celebrate Christmas because we believe in the miraculous. We believe that God became incarnate, virgin born, the holy, sinless person, Jesus Christ the Messiah. We believe in the miraculous. We come to church because we believe in the miraculous. We sing to the Lord and worship him because we believe in the miraculous. That's why we're here this morning. We live our life in light of the miraculous birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension of the Lord. We live our life in light of that. We give money to support the church, which he purchased with his own blood, which is miraculous that he would do that. We give ourselves and to the furtherance of the gospel, a message of miraculous hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Our whole hope and faith and eternal future is based on the miraculous. We are here this morning because of the supernatural spiritual reality that we are promised eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we're here this morning. Because we believe we have it. We trust in him to have it. That all of our sins can be forgiven and that we can go to heaven forever. We're believing in the miraculous. Why? Because a virgin birth is miraculous. It starts off the whole thing with a virgin birth. A virgin birth is miraculous. But would you expect God to come down to so that we could go up any other way? Would you expect God to come down so we could go up any other way than something miraculous? Some people may ask, do you really think that Jesus was virgin born? Well, if someone spoke the words that he spoke, if someone promised what he promised, if someone healed thousands from sickness and disease and cast out demons, if someone walked on water and told the wind to stop and the sea to be calm, if someone fed 5,000 and fed 4,000 out of practically nothing, if someone made prophecies that were fulfilled perfectly, if someone raised people from the dead, if someone never sinned, that's miraculous, then I would say, yes, I believe Jesus was virgin born. If somebody said what he did and lived the life he lived, absolutely. Because every bit of that is miraculous. What's so miraculous about a virgin birth? And my question is, why don't you believe it?
That's
That's my question. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Why is that such a big deal? He made everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He caused a worldwide flood, destroying the evil people, evidenced all over the world. He brought an awesome, terrible plague on a nation to deliver his chosen people. He divided a huge sea so they could walk through on dry ground. Is it a big deal for God to come to earth veiled in human flesh? To do what he did and to give his body and blood as a sacrifice for sin because there was no other way? God can do that. God can do that. Christmas is about the miraculous. It's supernatural to us, but with God it's natural, right? Supernatural to us, but with God it's natural. The Lord God is always helping us comprehend his unlimited ability, his omnipotence. He gave us, recorded in Scripture, 680 years before the birth of the Messiah, that he would be miraculously born and birthed into this world by a virgin, therefore without a sin nature. Later, the Lord God, through the prophet Isaiah, in his prophetic writings, told the kingdom of Judah, just a couple chapters later, that the Davidic dynasty, the house of David, that this virgin-born son, that is God with us, Emmanuel, that all governing powers of the world would rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace, and that there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and his kingdom to establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Other verses quoted around this time. All given to King Ahaz to reassure him, listen, don't worry about invading armies. Your kingdom is going to continue. The Messiah is going to come, and it's going to be miraculous. In the midst of the kingdom of Judah's sin and rebellion and disobedience to God's word, by the Assyrian invasion to the northern kingdom Israel, and by the Babylonian invasion to the southern kingdom Judah, in the midst of their disobedience, their destruction, captivity, impending deportation, in the midst of that, Lord God once again gives them hope for their future by giving them this prophecy of this virgin-born Messiah and his future role and reign of an everlasting kingdom. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be great for the King Ahaz to hear? Like us, like he did King Ahaz, the Lord is always accommodating our inability to grasp the miraculous. He's always helping our unbelief. He helped the Magi with this miraculous star that led them to the land of Judah. He helped Mary understand how she was going to become pregnant with the Messiah being a virgin by the Holy Spirit. He helped Joseph understand that he was going to be the earthly guardian and to care for Mary and to care for Jesus, the Messiah. He helped the shepherds understand where to find this newborn king. He gave them a sign, as he did King Ahaz and the Jewish people. He gave the shepherds a sign like he did the Magi. He gave the shepherds a sign. Luke chapter 2 tells us the sign he gave them. Let me read it to you. And in the same region there was some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch with their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news and of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." God accommodated them and helped them understand. He said, "This will be a sign for you." Do you want to know where you can find in the city, Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior born for you, who is Christ the Lord? You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. That was a sign. Well, the first thing they had to do was to rule out all the houses and all the inns as places he might be. We know he's not going to be in a house. We know he's not going to be in an inn. Then to start looking for him in the animal stables. And not just the stables, but the feeding troughs in those stables, which is a manger. That's what a manger is. Can you imagine the shepherds on their way into Bethlehem? The sign is to find him in a rotten, stinky, smelly, dirty feeding trough for animals to eat out of. That's the sign they were given, because that's where he was, laying in a manger. The Lord God is always accommodating our limited ability with his unlimited power and abilities. He gives signs when he sees the need to rescue us from pending danger and direction and future hope. Yes, the soul that sins, it must die. But a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. God gives us a miraculous sign to reassure us that God is with us, and that there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Yes, we have all gone astray, each one to his own way, that there is none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God gives us a miraculous sign to guide us to him like the Magi. We too need his direction to lead us to Christ so that we may worship him also, because Christ is the bright and morning star. Christ is the Shekinah glory of God that draws all men to him. He is the light of the world. Yes, we will all walk through the door of death. We will all go off into eternity. But God gives us a miraculous sign. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Good news, folks. It doesn't end in a grave. Good news. It doesn't end in a grave. God gives us a sign for future hope. You have loved ones who have passed on? I do. Do you? Do you have loved ones that have passed on? Do you ever hope to see them again? Good news. There's a babe lying in a manger, wrapped in clothes. The greatest Christmas present you will ever see wrapped. Not with shiny paper you buy from the store, but wrapped in swaddling clothes. The greatest Christmas present ever given. But how is that a sign? A babe lying in a manger. A stinky, rotten, smelly, dirty manger. This is a sign the angels told the shepherds. You find him in this stinky, rotten, smelly, dirty manger. Not in the houses, not in the inns, not just in a stable somewhere, it's a nice, neat straw, but laying in a feeding trough for animals. Here's the sign for you, to reassure you of pending danger and direction and future hope for you. The miraculous sign is this. If the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, very God of very God, God incarnate, could be born in a stinky, smelly, dirty, rotten manger, then good news. That means the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, very God of very God, God incarnate, could be born in your stinky, smelly, dirty, sinful heart. Isn't that good news? That's a good sign. That's the sign I'm sure the shepherds finally realized. How miraculous is that? That's the most miraculous act a sovereign God could ever do for you, to be born in your heart, knowing how simple we are. That's miraculous. And with that spiritual birth in our heart comes the indwelling Holy Spirit and eternal life. We live based on the miraculous. Has the miraculous happened to you? Christmas is about the miraculous and the supernatural. It's about the gift of eternal life all wrapped up and lying in a manger. God is always coming down, accommodating our limited ability and grasping his unlimited power of love, mercy, and grace, giving us a revelation of himself in prophecy and promises and in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you been reassured this morning by his sign of the virgin birth of his son? Have you been directed in your life and how you should live it this morning by his sign of the cross as a star shining upon the life and death of his son, Jesus Christ? Have you been given future hope this morning by the sign of the empty tomb, the resurrection of his son, victorious over death, hell, and the grave? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus asked, do you believe this? That's miraculous. You know what he's asking? Do you believe the miraculous? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus was virgin born? That's miraculous. Do you believe that he was a sinless Son of God incarnate? That's miraculous. Do you believe that he gave his life as a substitute sacrifice for your sins? Do you believe that he resurrected from the dead and soon to return? Do you believe in the miraculous? Well, if you do, you believe in the real meaning of Christmas. And you have received the greatest gift ever given, and that is eternal life. 680 years, and then he came. It's been 2,000 years plus, but he's coming again. Do you believe in the miraculous? Because with God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for giving us evidence all along the way that we can see your glory and see your incomprehensible love and see you reaching out to fallen mankind. Yes, telling us that we are sinful beings and undeserving of grace, undeserving of being saved, undeserving of having eternal life, undeserving of going to heaven for all eternity and living in your glory, undeserving to have you leave heaven's glory and come down to this earth and be shamefully treated and ridiculed, mocked, beaten, whipped, and then crucified for us. We're undeserving of that. And why you would do that is incomprehensible. It is a love that is incomprehensible. It is miraculous that you would want to even save sinners. Help us, Lord, to live by faith, live in light of the miraculous, and look forward to your soon return, which you've promised. And we look forward to it. You came once, you'll come again because you said so. We look forward to that day. Even Christmas reminds us of that. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.